Well, I would invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, as we conclude our series on worship, I want to think with you about the things that you and I treasure, the things that people treasure. And to set the stage for this, I want to read with you just a few verses, beginning at verse 19 from Matthew chapter 6. This is a part of Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." And verse 21, that's the verse really I want to have you think about with me. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All of us have treasures in our lives, right? There are those things that are of great value to us, those things that we pursue, those things that we hold on to. It's those things that we prize, those things sometimes that we even rearrange our lives around. We all have things that we treasure. When our kids were young, they all had a treasure box, all three of them. You know what I mean by a treasure box? This would be the cardboard box that's about 5 inches high and about 18 inches wide and about 30 inches long, and it was kept under their beds. And in this treasure box, they put things that meant a great deal to them, things that they highly valued, you know, their yo-yos and their artwork from school and the medals from the band festival and baseball cards and such. You know, their diary that was kept for a short while. Notes from friends, right? It all went into that treasure box that was kept under their bed. Everything that mattered a great deal to them, their personal treasures. And everything in that box had a story that was associated with it. Everything in it had a memory attached to it. It'd be an assortment of things in those boxes that no one would bother to take, but boy, if there was ever a fire in our house, we would make sure, if we could, to try to grab those three boxes as we ran out. The contents of the boxes, of course, changed over the years as the kids grew older and the things that they treasured changed, but there was always this box under their beds, I think, until the time that they left for college. Whether we realize it or not, each of us have a treasure box. Each one of us has a treasure box. It may not be an 18 by 30 inch cardboard box under the bed. It might be right here, right here. But we have a place where we keep our treasures, the things that matter so much to us. My question for you this morning is, what do you treasure? What are those things that you treasure that might be found in your treasure box, metaphorically? What are those things? Is it a car? Is it a boyfriend? Is it good grades? Is it success? Is it athletics? Is it a career? Is it stability? Is it financial success? Is it a good retirement portfolio? Is it comfort? Is it stability? What is it? What are the things that really matter to you, that you really treasure? I don't know what it is for you. I've been thinking about what it is for me. But whatever you love most, whatever you serve most, whatever you seek out most, whatever you give to most, whatever you think about most, whatever you care about most, these are the things that we have placed in our treasure boxes. And Jesus says, be very careful. Be very careful about what you place in your treasure box. Because wherever your treasure is, just know this. Whatever you treasure, there your heart will be also. You see, what we treasure has a way of shaping us. You treasure money, and you'll be shaped by this sometimes or oftentimes insatiable desire for more of it. You treasure power, and you'll be shaped by self-importance. You treasure comfort, and you'll be shaped by apathy and indifference. You treasure approval, and you'll be shaped by the opinion of others. Be careful, Jesus says, what you treasure, what you put in your box, because it will shape who you become. And that's why Jesus says that the first and greatest commandment is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. Oh, and then he says a second is of equal importance. Your love for God is borne out in the way that you show love for others. That's why Jesus said, no, he didn't. That's why the Ten Commandments declare, remember going back to last fall, you shall have no other gods before me. No other treasure higher than me. So, what do you treasure? What's in your treasure box? And by the way, do you know where the word worship comes from? I'll put it on the screen. Worship comes from the Old English word worth-ship, and it means to assign or to attribute or to ascribe worth or value to something. And here's the deal. What we value and what we treasure, what we ascribe worth and value, what we value and treasure above all else ultimately becomes the object of our worship. Whatever you treasure most, that's what you ultimately worship, whether that's happiness or whether that's money, financial security, or whether that's relationships, whether that's prestige. Whatever is most important in your life is the object of your affections and the object of your worship. Well, when we worship God, we declare that God is of highest value, that He is of ultimate value, the greatest worth. He's the greatest worth in the universe, and that He is the greatest treasure of our lives and of our hearts. That's what we do every time that we come in here on a Sunday morning, and we worship. But there's a problem. It is possible to claim we treasure God above all else, while in fact, in our hearts and lives, we may treasure other things more highly. Isaiah 29, these people, God says, come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So how can you tell what you really, truly treasure? Well, here's something that I would suggest. Here's something you can consider. You tell what is really important to someone, not so much by their words, but by their actions. There's a story that has gone around for a little while now. Most recently, I heard it and read it from John Ortberg, whose insights have helped to shape this message. But John Ortberg says that this story originally came from a Robert Russell, who swears that it's true. It's a story about this big-time collegiate basketball game between the University of Kentucky and the University of Louisville. And a guy comes in before the game, and the place is absolutely packed, and game's about ready to begin, and he sees an empty chair, and he goes over and asks the woman if the chair is taken. And well, this woman said, "So here's the deal. My husband and I have been season ticket holders for 28 years, and for 28 years, my husband and I haven't missed a single game, but he's not here because he just recently passed away." And this guy, just moved with compassion, says, "Oh no, you shouldn't have to come here alone. You couldn't find any friend. You couldn't find anyone who cares for you. Not a single one." And she looks up at him and says, "Are you kidding? They're all at my husband's visitation. And if this game doesn't begin soon, I might miss it altogether." I can't imagine that this story is true. But Robert Russell says he swears it is. If it really happened, we know what she treasured, right? Her actions revealed what was most important to her, and so do ours. Our actions reveal what is most important to us. Furthermore, what we really and truly treasure, we are willing to make sacrifices for. Does that make sense? I think all of you would agree, right? You treasure your children. You treasure your spouse. You treasure your deep friendships. And you're willing to make sacrifices for them. You treasure a certain level of achievement above all else, and you make sacrifices for that. You treasure a certain lifestyle, and you make sacrifices for that. Whatever we treasure becomes a high priority for us. We think about it. We work for it. We pay for it. We dream about it. Now, kids, I don't know about you, but in the household I grew up in, I couldn't have everything that my heart's desired. We were in a store yesterday. We were in Target yesterday. And there was this poor mother who was down the aisle there, and her kid was about this far away, and he was throwing a temper tantrum because she wouldn't go with him to the toy section. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, we've been down that road too with our kids. And then I remember how it was when I was a little kid. And like that mother, my father and mother wouldn't just put up with that. Whenever I really placed high value and treasured something, I'd have to negotiate as I grew older than this, 4-year-old or 5-year-old. I'd have to negotiate with my mom and dad what I could do to earn enough money to buy what I really treasured on that shelf in the toy section. And maybe that's true for you. You see, what we treasure and place a high priority on, we willingly pursue. We are willing to invest a lot of effort. We are willing to sacrifice, which raises the question, what are you willing to sacrifice for? I think of a church-going businessman who's consumed by his desire for achievement and success, and he's sacrificing everything for it. He invests little in his marriage. He's never really home all that much for the kids. By the time he gets home, kids are in bed. And although he would tell you that his family is important, his life tells another story. I think of a college student who's in church most every Sunday morning, but what she really worships is approval. She sacrifices her own opinion, sometimes her own integrity, sometimes her own convictions to win the approval of others. I think of another person who worships security and comfort. Many people do, because that's pretty important to us. We may not think we're sacrificing anything, but we are. We're sacrificing growth. We're sacrificing learning and faith and joy and what could have been in our Christian life had we been willing to respond to the promptings of the Spirit in our lives. We're all tempted to treasure ultimately something beyond God. All of us are. But the Bible says, worship God and worship only God. Treasure Him above all else. Ascribe to Him worth and priority above everything else in our lives. Worship Him with your mouths, but just as important, worship Him with your life. So here it is. The worship God seeks from us is worship that flows out of our lives as well as our lips. And this is so important for us to understand. Here's what the Apostle Paul says about it in Romans chapter 12, the first verse. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And then he says, this is your true and proper worship. So now, a little bit of context here, just briefly. Stay with me. In the Old Testament, people worship God how? By regularly going to the tabernacle or regularly going to the temple and offering animal sacrifices. And these animals were killed and their blood was poured out on their altar. And in that way, their sins were atoned for. What the world does atone mean? It means that the penalty for their sins was paid. And they were forgiven. And you see, in doing that for all of those years in the pages of the Old Testament, what was really happening is they were pointing to the ultimate sacrifice that would one day be made on the cross of Christ, who gave his life and made the ultimate sacrifice for us once and for all, such that we don't come here anymore with our animals or maybe with our birds. And there is no altar here where we sacrifice, and drainage pipes where the blood runs out. None of that occurs in worship anymore, because Christ has once and for all atoned for our sins. It's different now, says the Apostle Paul here in Romans chapter 1. We no longer worship God by animal sacrifices. Now we worship God with an entirely different kind of a sacrifice. And what sacrifice is that? It is the sacrifice of our lives. We offer our lives to Him. We submit our lives to Him. We yield our lives to Him. We give our lives to Him. Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of what Christ has done for you, God's mercy, in view of what Christ has done for you on the cross, the sacrifice that He has made for you, I urge you then to offer your bodies. Now, the English translation, bodies, is a pretty sad translation, because in the original, bodies does not refer only to our flesh, only to our, you know, our what we know as our physical bodies. what Paul is meaning to say is every part of us. Every part. Our hearts, our thoughts, our desires. Every part of who we are. Our actions, our plans, all of our being. And Paul says, I urge you, in view of the cross, to offer all that you are as a sacrifice to God. And this is your worship. What you treasure, you will be willing to make sacrifices for. If you treasure God, says Paul, then you lay your life on the sacrificial altar and live for Him every day. Every morning when you get up, say a little prayer asking God to help you be the greatest thing in your life on that day, in that day. Every morning when you get up, say a little prayer acknowledging before God your struggle to worship Him above all else. Every day when you get up, say a little prayer and dedicate your life to God for that day. And live for Him for that day. And Paul says, hey, this is worship. This is your spiritual act of worship. You see, when you give your life to God day by day, you are honoring God. You are honoring God with your life. You are bringing delight to His heart. You are bringing glory to His name. Worship takes place in and through every thought and every act that demonstrates what God means to you in your life. That demonstrates that He is your greatest priority, your greatest treasure. God seeks the worship that flows out of our entire lives throughout the week. And we really should get, so I get it, that we think we come here on Sunday morning and this is where worship takes place in our lives, right? So in one sense that is true, but not really. Worship doesn't just take place in this hour on Sunday morning. We've got to think, you know, we've got to have in our consciousness that worship takes place in every hour of our life. You know, let's not compartmentalize our lives so that this little slice of our life is our worship. No, it's not. Every slice of our life is intended to be worship. I think it's this idea that led the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 to say this. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do it all as a way of worshiping God. And that's the challenge this morning as we wrap up this series of messages, to live our lives in such a way that it makes it clear who our greatest treasure is, to give glory to God and honor to God in every thought, in every act, in every area of our lives, so that the worship that emanates from this room on Sunday morning between 9:30 and 10:40 is an authentic representation of the worship that flows from our lives all of the other hours of our week. For this is the worship that God truly seeks.